want to thank everybody, especially the man that reached out this morning, Jonathan, for the glass of water. It's been a felt like, I don't know, just me, or is it was Satan trying to shut me up? It's been a started getting a cold earlier this week, and it's thought by Friday it seemed to be getting better, and doesn't seem to be getting better. My ear feels like there's some water flopping around in it, and I feel stuffy, so excuse me if I make noises that are not normal. Different things have popped up this week. Last night somebody asked me if I was nervous. I said probably about 9:30. It was actually about 10:50 when I got nervous. But this morning, Carolyn wasn't feeling well, so she stayed home. Christine just went home a little bit ago because she's not feeling well. I just seem that there's a lot of things stacking up trying to get me to make excuses to stay home. I can still talk, so I guess I'm supposed to be here. I used my van this morning, got home, it ran completely fine. Half an hour later, went out to head to church, and it was completely dead. There's no lights or anything on. It was just didn't blink or squeak or anything. There was nothing. Could have just gone back in. Well, this van doesn't start. Tom, we need you to come up here this morning. But the truck did start, so we ended up here after all. Got a couple show and tells. Jeffrey, I sent you a couple pictures if you want to put up the first one, and I'll get to it later. Before I get into it, a little bit on the lighter side, about a week or so ago, I was feeling, I get up at 9:30 in the morning, so everybody else is still asleep, and some reason that morning I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. I got to get up at this time every morning, and everybody else gets to sleep in, wake up whenever they feel like it. And then this song popped in my head, God is so good. Why now? But today's message is for the 1 in 100, the person that feels like the black sheep and the field full of white sheep. Touching on things that we normally don't hear up here, we don't think we should hear up here, but it is in our community, it is in the middle of us. Terms like abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, mental abuse. Rejection. Nobody understands me. There's a good portion of you that will hopefully think that this is a message we don't want to hear, and if that's you, then praise God. But there's a handful of you here that know what I'm talking about, that are probably wishing this had been a subject years ago, and maybe I wouldn't be where I'm at today. If we talk about sexual violence, there's 1 in 4 girls before the age of 18 that are violated in some way or another. There's 1 in 7 boys before the age of 18. It's personal to me. For some people, it's whatever. That doesn't happen around here. There's very conservative men, grandpas, that are serving time right now because of situations like this. If I hurt somebody's feelings, that's not what I'm here for. I'm just hoping to shed some light and maybe make a difference somewhere down the road. But these statistics aren't just for other countries, people outside of our area. It's for our area. 80 to 85% of these are committed by family members or people that are known. Only 2% of those, 1 in 50, gets convicted or sentenced. There's many instances, perhaps it's a little 8-year-old girl. She's asleep in the bedroom and suddenly there's a hand over her mouth. There's no secrets. If somebody tells you that we need to keep this a secret, then you need to speak. But just like this tree, the one on the left, kind of hard to see, but it kind of looks normal from this angle, from this view. It's, you can see the leaves up top, it's growing. It's got normal bark. It looks normal from this angle. But if you look at a different angle of it, you'll see something completely different. And that's, if you talk about 1 in 4 girls, that means everyone in here knows somebody that's been sexually abused. Whether they are aware of it or not, the outside can look perfectly fine. And the inside is not. And age doesn't matter. It could be a baby, it could be an old grandpa. Age does not affect it. Like I said, if you're thinking this is baloney, praise God that you think that way. It spans time. Go back 3,000-4,000 years, whatever it is, Genesis 14. I don't have a lot of verses to look up. I will refer to different ones. In Genesis 14, there's Sodom, Gomorrah. Most of us are probably familiar with the story. The stranger comes to town. Lot takes him in. As the townspeople come and they want Lot to turn these people over to him. In appearances, Lot did not value his girls. Lot did not treasure his girls. He was willing to let the townspeople do whatever they felt like with his girls. He offered to let them have his girls rather than the visitors. I had to wonder, was this the reason later in Genesis 19, Lot's girls got him drunk and slept with him? He did not value them, according to what we read. And they obviously didn't value them themselves. For somebody that's been abused once, there's a lady, a stranger came to the door and just happened one time. But that affected her and her husband's life for the rest of their life. There's things that will come up for the rest of their life. And we're told to forgive and forget, and that was preached to us for many, many years. And you can forgive, but you cannot forget. If this is you, you damage somebody on the inside, and that's not something that ever completely goes away for most people. Sometimes God will see fit to do that. But in also in Genesis 34, similar thing, Shechem, a prince. I'm up here, everybody else is down here. I can do whatever I feel like, and women were not held in very high esteem, obviously. He saw Dinah and took her. Shechem's dad finds out, and he tries to bribe the family. That'll happen today, too. Candy, promises, threats, if nothing else works. If you ever tell anybody, I'm going to do this to you, no one's going to believe you anyway. I'm a grandpa. I'm a preacher. I'm somebody important. Nobody's going to believe you. In another instance, 2 Samuel, David's son Absalom, took his sister Tamar and raped her. Afterward, he hated her. That's actually a little bit more normal today. He couldn't stand her. He kicked her out. Couldn't face her. Maybe he put her down. Might have lied about her. Told her she's trash. Or just simply avoided her. Now we look at David. He mentions the name David. I don't know if it's specifically the same guy or not, but he's mentioned 968 times in the Bible. A man after God's own heart. We've all heard that term. But he had a man killed so he could take his wife. Did he value women? Or did he see something he wanted and he took it? Talking about life having no value. There's different people we can read about. Dave Peltzer, a child called It. His mom did not value him. If he was washing dishes and she caught him with his hands out of the dishwasher, he'd get slapped. He'd get locked in the closet. If he didn't do what she wanted him to do, he didn't eat. And sometimes he didn't eat for multiple days. He got out of it. He felt worthless. I mean, there was nobody in his life to show him that he mattered. Stephanie Fast, the book She Is Mine, she was grew up in Korea. Her mom was back in the, I'm not sure what years it was, but during the war there, the American soldiers were over there, and what sometimes happens like that, the American soldier and her mom got together for a little bit, and the soldier left. I don't think he ever knew about it. Don't quote me on that. But she was born, and in Korea, that's unacceptable to have a two-tone baby. At 4 years old, she was put on a train to go meet somebody. And there was nobody at the other end. At 4 years old, she realized that she's worthless. She's trash. She lived on the streets. She was finally, I don't remember the circumstances, she was left to die on the garbage dump. Somebody found her and saw value there. And there's a long story behind it, but just another case of somebody that's told she's worthless. She's trash. These days, abortion is pretty common. In 77, it wasn't yet. It was, I'm thinking, still frowned upon in those days, but it still happened. Melissa Oden, she'd be 46 now. She was aborted. She was thrown in the trash. Her first day of life, she was told she was worthless. She was trash. She was thrown in the trash, and somebody happened to hear her crying. And they brought her back to life pretty well, and she's living today. Courtney, she was 25. She's 25 now. Her birth mom had an abortion at 7 weeks. And five weeks later, she discovered that she had aborted one of two. Courtney was the second one. She chose life for the second one, and she carried her to term, and somebody adopted her. But again, somebody that's before she was ever born was told she was worthless. Some years ago, I talked with Pat, South Carolina. I don't know if any of you have met him or not, but he's not black, but he's halfway black. He had one white and one black parent. That was in the 60s, maybe early 70s. And at that time, it was still not well seen to have mixed parents. So he was put in a foster care thing. He was adopted by somebody. And he, there again, before he was old enough to even think, he was told that he's worthless, he doesn't matter. He's a minister there in South Carolina now. If we think of an earthquake, I didn't pull up any pictures, but if there's an earthquake, we've had shivers through here. The closest I had was while we were in Oklahoma. It actually rattled stuff for a little bit, but if there's a good earthquake, it'll tear down buildings, or it might just, the face of the building might look perfectly fine, but the structure has been damaged. This tree is in our woods in the back. Jeffrey, you want to throw the other one up there? Does that look like a live tree? One on the right. Again, it's really hard to see, but it's, if you look at it from that angle, it's just inside of a shell, it's dead wood. But if you look at it from the other side, it is alive. There's branches, there's trees. There's a good possibility there's somebody in your life that looks really good, but they're crumbled up, shattered on the inside. I was showing an example quite a few years ago. He used some bills. See this bill that looks nice and shiny on the outside. We know the value of it. It looks really good. If we take the same one, we yell at it, we crumple it up, might spit on it, throw it down, stomp on it. We can run it down. That's a dirty old thing. He's all wrinkled. He's crabby. He's got a bad attitude, probably. He's worthless. Just throw him on the trash heap. But somebody else comes along, even if he's rumbled up, throw him in a heap, spit on, stomped on, throw him in the trash. It still has the same value. It's The value of it is the exact same as that one, the nice shiny one. And we might see that. We might never see that. If we see that lying outside and we see the corner of it, we recognize it for what it is. It won't matter if it's been crumpled up, stepped on. It might be dirty. It might be filthy. But if we smooth it out, it's never going to be the same as the other one. But the value didn't change. The heading today, our value, I wasn't quite sure how to put it, our value in God's eyes is what came to mind first. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter what happens to us in life. It doesn't matter if we're like Nick Bay, if we're born without arms and legs, or we're the kid that got thrown out with the trash, or we're the kid that got abused for most of her growing up years, or we're the boy that somebody molested. Our value does not change. Your value does not change. I don't know where you're at in life, if this is you, or if this is you. Our value is still the same. If we see that crumpled bill, we recognize it for what it is, we're going to pick it up. Do we, men, young men, boys, do we treasure do we look out for our wives, our daughters, our sisters? Do we stand in front of them if they get in harm's way? Do we step between them if somebody's not being nice? We need to be the protectors of our wives, our sisters, our young children. If we do, we won't be yelling at them, especially not in front of other people. We're not going to be putting them down in front of other people. On the better side, somebody was concerned about getting home for lunch. I hadn't timed this, so I didn't know if it'd be an early lunch or an early supper. But in Matthew 10:30, Marcus kind of poached on my notes this morning. Matthew 10:30, but the very heads on your head are numbered. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. God is fully aware of you. He's made each one unique. He might have made you very smart. He might have made you without an arm or a leg. Or he might have made you not so smart. Or you have to struggle just to, for common thoughts. Luke 12, the one Marcus read, but even the very hairs on your head are numbered. There again, for some of us it might be a higher number than others, but that's God made each person uniquely different. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. In Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. John 3:16, we all know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I also had another Chill and Chill this morning. I saw this a while ago. Some of you might have seen it. I don't know, but I thought it's kind of interesting. This was set up for talking about sin and Jesus. But it's kind of put a different reference on it too. If this is you, if you feel worthless, if you feel stepped on, not understood, talked about, run down, whatever, if this is you, you might feel like that on the inside. But it's a definition of sin. This is us. We look nice and clear, but we're all born with sin. And it doesn't matter how much of us we pour back into that, that's going to stay roughly that color. We can do really, really good things. We can be really nice. It's Paul, you were talking about going out of your way, backing up to change that tear that you didn't feel like changing. Reminded me of a story back in 15. Sometimes we really don't feel like going out of our way, but sometimes God says you probably should, even if you have to back up an exit ramp. Back in 15, we just moved to Oklahoma, and before we ever got to moving there, we made plans to go to Florida with my brother. So instead of going there from Indiana, we went there from Oklahoma. Carolyn drove out, and I had to wait until our barns were emptied. And then I flew out. I flew to Texas and then Atlanta and then on down to Florida. But before we ever took off from either the first or second one, there was a storm. I think the storm was over Atlanta. So we couldn't take off because they couldn't land. And my connecting flight was, I had about 15 minutes. If everything was on time, I had about 15 minutes for the connecting flight. And we got to Atlanta about 2 hours after that. I got off and I asked them. They gave me no hope that was 2 hours ago. So I didn't even go looking for it. Then there was a lot of that going on, a lot of late flights coming in. There's an elder lady sitting there in a wheelchair. And Atlanta is a huge airport. If you, depending on where you're flying out from, you got to take a train somewhere. And so she was sitting on a wheelchair, and she said her flight is ready to go, and she needs to get over there. So there's somebody that can come wheel her over. She could stand, but she couldn't walk or run. She said, "Well, yeah, person there that she'd asked for help, they'll try to get somebody around." I said, "Well, I'm not going anywhere. My plane left 2 hours ago. I might as well take you over there and then worry about what I'm going to do." So we did. We huge airport, down a long way, figured out where we need to go, and had to go, felt like a couple miles through that building. And we were trotting pretty good. She was in a wheelchair, and we were speed walking, passing everybody, and she was like, "Maybe we should go fast." Like, yeah, we're already going 70 to 45. So we tried to go faster, and we had to get down some levels and get on a train and then over to another building and up some more flights, and the elevators were kind of busy, so there was a escalator there. So she got up, stood on the escalator, and I held the wheelchair on the escalator, and we went up. On down the hall, we got to the plane. It was still there, so she was on time. And I decided to look at the screens and just check. Just if there's a chance that my plane is still there, and actually show that it was still there, and it was down about two sections. It wasn't far at all. And I got over there, and the plane had been sitting there for 2 hours. There's some less than happy people there that had been sitting on the plane for that length of time. But they decided to wait and see how many people showed up. We got on, and it wasn't very long, we left. But I was reminded of that when Paul said to him, at that time I didn't have any hope of hitting my plane, so why not? I might as well help somebody else out. But there's been times like you see somebody with a flat. I don't have time to go back there. But you feel you should anyway. I don't have time to go out of my way for somebody. I'm busy. We're all busy. But back to this. We can fill that glass up. It's not going to get clear again. We can fill it with good deeds, pile it high. It's not going to change. Or this might be you that you're feeling trashed. People use you, abuse you, talk down on you. Maybe that's what you're feeling like on the inside. But if we take Jesus, we take it to the cross, and we can be clean. Jesus can wash away all that dirt. Doesn't matter which end you are. Sin has no, if you're filled with Jesus, sin has got no room. But on the other hand, sin doesn't have a chance against Jesus either. That's a very simple illustration that I saw a while ago, and I appreciated it because we can feel like it's not worth it. I was let down when people started getting sick. Band didn't start. But if we focus on Jesus, if we take things to the cross, it doesn't matter what it is. He's there for us. If I know in some cases, little girls are abused. They don't have anywhere to go. They got nobody. Everybody they should be able to go to, they can't. They're afraid they'll get blamed. It was your own fault. It's not. It doesn't matter which end you are. In this case, take it to Jesus. He can clean it. And you don't have to feel like that tree. You can be the other one that is good. It's growing. Jesus is there for all of us. I've been in a place I've wondered why, how, but he steps in. If you want him to, he'll step in. He'll get rid of that junk. He won't grow back your arms and your legs. He won't go back and change the past, but he can, with him together, you can change the future.